You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Show me the money!
Jerry, you better yell!
Show me the money!
Enjoy it while it lasts. Gambling gods, fickle bunch.
Oh, yeah.
So easily offended.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
The Weekend Wager with Anita Marks starts now.
Welcome in. It is Weekend Wager. Anita Marks with you until 10 o'clock tonight. Here on 98.7 ESPN, Weekend Wager brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. Let's dive right into it. Lee Sterling, good friend of mine and professional handicapper, joins us on the show. Lee, how you doing?
Good. I'm upset. I didn't get the invite to go to your mom's, artistic
art show.
breakthrough. I've been in that theater many times supporting some of the young artists down at the Seminole Theater down in Homestead, Florida.
Oh, that's so nice. And I'm so, you. I had quite a few people who reached out to me who said, "Oh, I wish you would have let me know and I would have come." So I feel bad about that. And folks who are just listening, I just came back from South Florida. I went down there to see my mom for the week. And so, you know, it's really interesting, Lee, and I know it's a gambling show we'll get to in just a second, and that is, my mom is single. My mom is alone. And so all through COVID for over a year, she was stuck in her house alone, like with no one, like
horrible.
Her dog. That's like, you know, she was very, very, she's 80. She has diabetes. You know, she's not the most, she's not the healthiest person in the world. And so, you know, she had to be extremely careful. And I was scared to travel down there. God forbid I infected her and something happened. I'd never live with myself again. So I'd never forgive myself. So this past year, I kept on buying her canvases and paint, and she just, all she did was paint.
Had she painted earlier?
She was an art teacher. My mom was an art teacher.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
But like never like an artist. And so she, you know, through COVID in her time, she painted like 25, 30 paintings, and she had, and so now she has this art show down there. And I was just telling our producers, like 50 people showed up. I think she sold like 4 or 5 pieces, and I couldn't be more proud. I couldn't be more proud of her. And the story is interesting. You know what I mean? You know, like I try to look at the silver lining. You know, there are silver linings out there in this horrific, you know, time that we've been in the last year and a half. There are some silver linings, and I think my mom and her artwork is one of them. So thank you very much, Lee. I appreciate it.
Yeah, please let me know next time. And if it's still being up for sale, let me know, and I'm going to check it out. I got a daughter actually moving on Monday to New York City, so might need some art for her place.
there you go. Well, her work is going to be up at the Seminole Theater all the way through October, so feel free to pop in there and check it out. All right, so again,
sure
Lee Sterling joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Let's dive right into it. Tomorrow night, the Jets and the Giants, they face off against each other, and I'm really shocked that the Jets are favored in this. I get it, no Daniel Jones, but man, what a huge mountain Zach Wilson's going to have to climb, especially against a Giants defense, Lee, where you've got a lot of depth on the defensive line and you've got a lot of depth in the secondary, and these guys are going to be competing for a spot on the roster. I think this could very well be a long night for Zach Wilson. How are you playing this Jets Giants game tomorrow?
Similar to you, you know, I was never in love with Zach Wilson. Look at his wins last year. Played one average defense, Coastal Carolina, and he just didn't look good. So I thought he was a reach. And, I just think it's tough. Your first preseason game, he's going to play probably upwards of a half. They need to get him experience. And it could be tough. And you can say what you want about the Giants not starting their starting quarterback, but they got a couple guys that are pretty good. I mean, Lennon has been around forever. He started. Clayton Thorson, I think he's decent, you know. So I think you got two guys that know how to lead their teams. They don't make a whole lot of mistakes. I think that the Giants are much deeper than the Jets. Jets might be one of these teams that starts 1-6, Anita, and then everyone gets off them. They're like, oh, they're going to go like, you know, 3-14, and then they'll start winning some games, kind of like last year. They're just not ready yet. So, you know, putting in a new system, I think I like the coaching hire that they made, but just doesn't happen overnight. Give me the Giants. Yeah, I think there's a bunch of big-time mistakes in this first preseason week as far as Lions are concerned.
Elijah Moore is expected out with a quad injury. Vera Tucker is out because of some kind of pec injury. Are you surprised the Giants aren't favored here? And do you think a big reason is because of no Danny Dimes?
Yeah, I think that's probably the main reason. I mean, the Giants are great when they're favored. They're just not a good team. You know, regular season, preseason. How about this? I uncovered this stat. They're 11-1 against the spread as underdogs of less than 2 points over the last 9 years. 3-1 of the last 4 games in preseason. Jets have not fared well in preseason. I know it's a new coaching staff, but a bunch of guys were there the last couple of years are 3-8 in the last 11 preseason games. So, you know, unless something crazy happens, also you get a lot of DBs that take chances. And you're going to see a couple guys for the Jets probably take some chances there. And the Giants are more experienced in the defensive backfield. You're seeing, if you're watching these games tonight, both scores are 13-3. Penalties galore. I mean, nonstop. So it's built on big plays. So that's the situation.
Let's talk about three games that have some quarterback competition tied to them. And that's San Francisco 49ers, favored by 1.5, going up against Kansas City. We'll see, you know, if we see Patrick Mahomes or not. But, you know, I just had Ed Werder on not too long ago. I had Stefania Bell on my show last week, and both of them really have said that Trey Lance just looks spectacular. So, and from what I understand, he's going to get a substantial amount of playing time. What side of the coin are you on here, 49ers favored by 1.5?
I think San Francisco is deeper. When you got a roster like Kansas City, bloated with like 4 or 5 superstar salaries, you just don't have the depth. And you saw when they've had injuries, they've had some big-time problems. San Francisco, last year, they're coming off a Super Bowl year where they go to the Super Bowl, don't even make the playoffs because all the injuries and COVID cases. And, I mean, it was a disaster. So they built all this depth here. Lance is going to be great. I mean, he was a sleeper of all the quarterbacks there. And they got running backs. I mean, you know, Mostert, I've got Trey Sermon, a rookie. They've got Elijah Mitchell. A lot of people don't know about him from Louisiana Lafayette. Yeah, that's the team that beat Iowa State last year. He's a monster. So you got a lot of depth up and down this roster here, a lot of good receivers. You might see Sanu, who came over, you know, he started last year in Atlanta, and now he's over here. He went to Detroit. But he could have a big game. Jalen Hurt, Juwan Jennings. So they got playmakers on this team, and I expect them to take it to them. I just think Kansas City's just going to go through the motions here.
Denver, that's another quarterback competition that's happening with Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock. I feel they should go with Teddy Bridgewater. I think he gives them a better chance to win football games. But a lot of people feel that that Drew Lock's going to win that battle. They're favored by 2 against Minnesota. How are you playing that?
Well, I will say this. If they give it to Lock, I don't mind them having Teddy as the backup. You don't want to have it reversed. If Teddy has problems, Drew Lock coming back from a 10 points or 14 points down is going to be really tough in games. So I think Teddy is the right guy. But even if he doesn't start the year with a quick hook, it doesn't bother me. Team that's got a lot of depth. They drafted extremely well. Got a couple linemen in the draft and free agency, so their offensive line should be bolstered. Javonte Williams, they get him from North Carolina in the draft. He should be tremendous. I expect him to play probably close to a half in this game. Even if they go to the third quarterback and Brett Rypien plays the final quarter, he's looked good on occasion, and I like a bunch of their DBs, a bunch of young guys like Patrick Surtain that was taken in the first round. So this is a team that's building depth, and they have a couple, you know, decent quarterbacks. But you and I agree that Teddy Bridgewater's the guy. Doesn't look pretty. Doesn't throw the prettiest ball. Just a winner. I used to watch his games in high school after I'd finished doing shows all day and go out there. And I think I saw like four or five games. Hit the ball like at the 10, 20-yard line with like a minute, minute and a half to go. I think four of the five times he won the game. The other time he didn't, only because guys dropped balls and they just, I think they had like 40 seconds to go like 70 or 80 yards. So the kid's amazing. He's just a winner. And just think that, I think you want to take Denver here in this game.
Yeah, listen, I like Denver in the season, by the way. And I actually, I know Giants fans aren't going to like to hear this, but I like Denver week one against the Giants. All right, last but not least, let's talk about the Bears. And they are favored by 3.5 against Miami. Again, another team with somewhat of a quarterback battle. Listen, I think it's everything I'm hearing, it's going to be Andy Dalton. It should be Andy Dalton if Nagy really needs to get some wins in order to save his job. But from what I understand, they had an open practice to the fans, and everybody was hemming and hawing and ooh and woo for Justin Fields. So we'll see what happens. We'll see how much playing time Justin Fields gets. But what's your analysis here? How are you playing this one?
So I think Justin Fields is going to be really good. He's going to play probably more than a half in this game. Andy Dalton, if he lasts more than 2-3 games starting, I'll be shocked. I think he was shocked at the end of his career with Cincinnati. Except for one or two games against Dallas, he looked terrible. Listen to some of these backup receivers here for the Bears. Chris Lacy, Damier Byrd, Justin Hardy, Rodney Adams, Javon Wims, Daz Newsome, Johnson. Their starters are terrible. Their starters might be the worst in the league, and Allen Robinson, Darnell Moody, and Marquise Goodwin. So I don't know how they're going to score points. They're not going to play their starters on defense. Anyone that's a player, they have no depth there at all. Miami is all about depth. I mean, they got position battles on the offensive line, defensive line, receiver. They got like 9 or 10 receivers that would make almost any roster. So I like Miami here. I think this line's a mistake. They got Miami. You can still get 3.5 in most places. So I'm taking Miami here. Wouldn't surprise me if they win this game outright. Something also to really take into account. A lot of people don't realize this. Preseason games cannot end. They cannot go to overtime. There's no overtime. And teams will go for two just to try to win the game. Instead of, you know, let's say the game is 17-16, and let's say the Dolphins score. So they're going to go for two, and the game's going to end. So even if they kick it, the game's going to end. So every half point is very important, and just think Miami's the right side here, plus the field goal plus here.
Lee, great to have you on the show. Week in Wager brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Why don't you let folks know exactly how they can find you and all of your picks in your plays throughout the season?
Just check out the website, ParamountSports.com. On my website, under recent results, you can see every single game I've given out for the last 5 years. Anyone that isn't transparent, you don't want to be with. So try to do things the right way. I'm a former college quarterback. I'm studying games. Biggest mistake tonight was, I don't know why the NFL Network put on the Buffalo-Detroit game. I mean, Detroit is absolutely horrific. Bad team, and they should have known that Josh Allen wouldn't have been playing. Maybe the Tennessee-Atlanta game would have been a little more interesting. But you're looking for someone who's honest and wins in the long run, ParamountSports.com.
Fantastic. Great stuff as always. Lee, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You too. Thanks, Anita.
800-919-3776. Let's go to Dave in Queens. Dave, thank you so much for holding on. I do appreciate it. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, my pleasure, Nita. Thanks. A lot of things. Let me rapid fire with you. First of all, David Sampson, always good on your show. I subscribe now to his podcast. It's wonderful. I learned about him.
Isn't he great?
I heard his name in the past, but now I listen to his stuff because of you hearing him on your show. Excellent guy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, he's really – Dave and I go way back. I was hosting Sports Talk Radio down in Miami – and in
oh yeah
in, And he was at the time, he was the president at the time, the Florida Marlins, and he had
I liked his style then, and he's great. Keep coming, having him on. You guys have a good thing for when you talk. You told your guests, but him and you, it's a good one. It shows that you know each other. It shows.
Thank you. Thank you.
And now Denzel Mims, only the Jets, right, can get a player that loses 20 pounds. Now, allegedly through food poisoning. I never heard of 20 pounds being lost with food poisoning, but if that's the story, I'll buy it. But only the Jets, right, with 20 pounds, their young stud receiver going to lose 20 pounds. Never heard of such a thing coming. So, that's going to make him weaker. He's got to get that weight. Got to get that back,
Absolutely. He's got to get it back. Listen, you're talking about football players. We don't know what his diet was prior. I dated athletes before who would have to, believe it or not, what they do is they set their alarm. They'll set their alarm for 1 a.m. They'll set their alarm for 5 p.m. and they'll wake up and they'll just wake up and go eat a casserole of pasta and then come back to sleep.
Yeah, right.
Just to keep their weight.
Nature. No, he'll get it back. It's just that when he makes that drop pass this year, that cost me a bet or something. I'm gonna say that damn salmon.
Is that what happened? Is that what he ate? Hmm? Is that what he ate? He had
That's
salmon.
What he says. Salmon. He says, yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, that was a rough one. Yeah, and let me tell you, this Judge got called up 5 years ago today. Aaron Judge got called up. Just wanted to shout that out. 5 year anniversary of the call up today. And the reason I called up the Jets, let me ask you this. I mean, obviously, no backup, veteran backup. It looks like they're not going to go with a veteran backup. What's the case here? And then with Coach Knapp passing, I don't believe they even replaced his position. I don't think they're going to replace his coaching position. So they're kind of double screwed, not having a veteran backup and then obviously losing Coach Knapp. And I don't think they're replacing him with anybody. And then I just want to say one more thing. Coach Fossil, he passed. Do you think the Giants will wear a decal honoring him? And I think they should if they don't, because I like Coach Fossil as well. And I'll hang up and listen to your comments. Thanks.
Thank you for your call. I knew Jim Fossil extremely well in the time that I was the sideline reporter for the UFL. And so I spent a lot of time with Jim Fossil, and it's just such a really, really nice, nice man. And so Godspeed. I'm not sure what the Giants are going to do or how they're going to honor him, but knowing the Giants and that organization, I know that they will honor him in some way, shape, or form, I'm sure. I am a little shocked that there's not a veteran guy in this quarterback room. You got Mike White, you got James Morgan, Josh Johnson. You could say, well, hey, Josh Johnson, he's been around a lot. I mean, heck, he had a cup of coffee with the Giants as well. But, more so like a Ryan Fitzpatrick or a Nick Foles or somebody like even a Mike Glennon, who, of course, is the backup quarterback for the Giants. So I'm a little surprised by that. I do hope that they bring someone in. I think they need to. It's just my two cents. I'm a little surprised that they haven't already. And in the running back position, one guy that I'm really excited to see play tomorrow is Michael Carter. I loved Michael Carter coming out. And I was really, really thrilled when the Jets... I was probably more excited with the draft pick with Michael Carter and Elijah Vera Tucker than anything else. And obviously, Elijah Moore is really it's unfortunate that now he's dealing with an injury. But I heard great things about him at camp, and I think he has the potential to be an absolute rock star on this Jets roster as well. So that it'll be exciting to see how he develops. So we'll see what happens. 800-919-3776. You want to jump on board? Now is the time to do so. Anita Marks with you till 10 o'clock tonight. We've moved Week in Wager up because I filled in for Chris Carlin earlier. So another 30 minutes of helping you win some money over the weekend. We do have David Behrman who's going to be joining us. He does each and every Week in Wager show. We'll dive into some of our golf plays heading in tomorrow. A really exciting golf tournament happening right now in North Carolina because not only are these guys competing to try to, of course, win some money, but they're also competing because where they finish and how well they do, they accumulate points, which then plays into the Northern Trust in the FedEx, which is the first stop in the FedEx Cup, to try to help them be become the tour champion, and that is the best player of the year. And so you've got a lot of guys at the top of leaderboard, like Webb Simpson, like Russell Henley, who are trying to accumulate more points. And so this weekend is going to be a lot of fun. I'll dive into that with David Behrman next. Without further ado, David Behrman joins us here. As he does, I feel like each and every week, you are like a staple on the show. David, how you doing?
Good. I'm honored to be on every single Friday night. And hey, we're 90 minutes earlier than normal. Usually it's the graveyard shift, so I'm honored to be on at 9:30.
Yeah, I've been filling in for Carlin since a few times this summer. This is typically what happens. And hence, we move Weekend Wager up to 9 o'clock, which is great. All right, I've spent a lot of time talking NFL. Let's switch gears and let's talk some golf. And I think it's really important we explain to folks who might not be golf enthusiasts, understand that at the end of the year, a golfer is crowned as the best golfer of the year. And that's by points, style points, really. So the better they do throughout the season, they accumulate points in each tournament that they play in and how well they do. And then it comes down to the last three tournaments of the season. The first one kicks off right here in our own backyard at the Northern Trust, which, by the way, I'll be broadcasting live from on Saturday the 21st from noon to 3 at the Beer Garden. I'm excited about that. So you take the top 125, and then that's brought down to 70, and they go to Baltimore and they play Caves, and then from 70 then it goes down to 30 and they go to Atlanta to see who could win the championship. And so the guys at the top leaderboard right now, Russell Henley, Webb Simpson, a number of these guys, Justin Rose is just trying to get into the 125, Kevin Na. I mean, this is what makes this tournament so exciting this weekend, is not because they just want to win this tournament, but they're trying to accumulate more points so it will be beneficial and give them a better opportunity to be crowned the best golfer this season. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, this is a different type of tournament. You really don't see stuff like this in other sports, where you're not only looking to crown the champion of this event, but as you mentioned, you got to get into the top 125 or your season's over. And for some of these guys, they don't get their tour card. Because for those that don't know, if you don't have an exemption, you know, Ricky Fowler doesn't have to worry about it because he's exempt for many, many years due to the wins that he's had on tour. But there are other golfers who are not exempt, who if you don't finish in the top 125 by the end of the Wyndham Championship, you got to go qualify. You got to go into the Web Tour and qualify, or you got to go through Q School, and or the version of Q School that we've come to know. And so it's really, really important to make that top 125. And some of the guys that we chose this week in the column, we weren't just looking at guys to win. We were looking at guys that we thought would do well because they needed to get into the top 125. And I'm going to admit that I swung and missed on Ricky Fowler, who I fade all the time. I bet against him all the time. Anita, you and I talk about this every Friday night. You love Ricky. I love fading him. I took him one time, because I thought he had to play well to make the top 125 so the season wouldn't end in the exact top. So I should have stuck to my hunches. Not sure what is wrong with Ricky Fowler, but his season is effectively over. But as you mentioned, there's a lot of golf to be played this weekend. Adam Scott is 124 right now, dropped a few spots. Justin Rose is the big mover and shaker of the week, moving from 138 up to 117. Those spots disappear quickly if you have one bad round. He needs to maintain what he's doing and probably finish in the top 10, if not top 5, to qualify for next week's event. So there's a lot of guys on that line. You know, you look at Adam Scott. I played CT Pan this week at 80-1 long shot, thinking he needed to play well to make it in. He made the cut. His work's not done yet. So he's one of the guys I'm watching this weekend. Probably will play him in a couple of matchups because his season's on the line this weekend.
So let's take a look at what the leaderboard looks like right now and some of the plays and that you like heading into tomorrow and Sunday. And Russell Henley at the top of the leaderboard at 14 under. He's got a 4-shot lead with Webb Simpson on his coattails, Scott Piercy and Rory Sabatini as well. All of them are 10 under. Justin Rose, as you said, he's 9 under, so he's tied for 5th. Kevin Na is 8 under, so he's tied for 8th. Interesting. I played a lot of Alex Smalley. I played a lot of him in DFS this week. So that, and I got him for like $6,000 or $6,200. So he's, that's unbelievable that he's tied for eighth. But I said it, I recorded the Daily Wager podcast today at noon from the airport, by the way. Not sure if you heard the planes flying by when I spoke, but nonetheless, Russell Henley is he's a man possessed right now. He really is. And you can get him to win this at +130. For me, it's between him and Webb Simpson. Webb Simpson to win this is +330. Who do you like as we head into tomorrow?
I mean, I know it's a 4-shot deficit, but I still like Webb. This is Webb's course. This is Webb's event. This is what Webb does. I have him top 5. I have him top 10. I have him winning at 12-1. I played him in a couple of matchups that are already over. So I really do like Webb this weekend, but I mean, it's hard to argue if anybody wants to play somebody like Russell Henley, who has a 4-shot lead, get a 62-64. The guy's on cruise control right now. If he keeps it up, he's going to win the tournament, and more power to him. He's doing a heck of a job. But this is Webb Simpson's tournament. It always has been. He only has the one win, but he has 6 top tens, including each of the last 4 years. And you can still grab him in some markets. I was looking a little while ago. He's -200 for the top 5, and obviously, you know, -1,000 for a top 10 finish. I was able to grab him at about 150 for a top 10 finish at this event. And I'm pretty happy that it's now -1,000 when I have him about +150. I think Justin Rose isn't going away, as I mentioned at the beginning of this. He needs to continue playing well. He entered this event at 131 on tour in the FedEx Cup, so he needs to make up 6 spots. He has done that already, making up 21 spots, but his work is not done yet. But he's only a couple shots back, and one name I want to throw out there just because I liked him going in, and I don't think he's done yet, Kevin Kisner. He's T12 right now at 7 under par. I like him to finish in the top 10 at +175, and I would probably play him to finish in the top 5 at 4.5 or 5-1. He's 7 shots back, so unless something happens at the top, he's probably not going to win it, which is why he's 40-1. But don't count him out for a top 5 or top 10.
Some top fives that I like as well at plus money, because you know I'm always looking for the plus money, is I'm with you, Justin Rose at +175. I liked Kevin Na coming in. You could get him to finish in the top 5 at +250, and he's tied for 8th right now at 8 under. And I just mentioned Alex Smalley, and again, I hope I'm pronouncing it properly. You could get him to finish in the top 5 at 8-1. You could get him to finish in the top 10 at +330. I might throw some coin on that too, David.
Yeah, and then two other guys that I played. I played him and Kim. Both of them are 223 right now. I played them both to finish in the top 10. They're a couple shots back, so I like them for the weekend. And one name to pay attention to that I'm not sure he can get in there unless he wins the event, but Tommy Fleetwood, currently projected 133rd, so he has some work to do. Hasn't played a lot on the PGA Tour, which is why he doesn't have enough points to get up there, but Tommy's right there at 223 as well. Probably play him at you know, maybe +250 to get into the top 10, because he's going to need at least a top 10, if not more, to get into that top 125. And it's not foolproof. Like, these guys still have to go out there and execute. And you saw with Ricky Fowler, who needed a good week and instead missed the cut, along with Patrick Rogers and a couple other guys, that it's not perfect, but this is the only time of the year that we're actually looking at guys in the middle of the pack to do well just to qualify for next week.
Again, David Behrman joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. He oversees all of our gambling content at ESPN, and also is expanding into fantasy, which, by the way, just a reminder, we've got our fantasy football marathon that kicks off next week, Tuesday into Wednesday. So we're really excited about that. And we've got a number of NFL articles that are going to be coming out for the remainder of the month of August and, of course, the beginning of September, leading up to, of course, the first game on Thursday night. With that being said, I know that you've been looking over a lot of content, a lot of analysis. Give us a team or two that you feel might be flying low on the radar, that not enough people are paying attention to, that maybe you really love an over, maybe you really love an under. Give me one or two teams that you feel just are continually come up in analysis and in what you're researching and what you're hearing.
It's funny, a lot of times, Anita, you look at win totals and you're thinking, oh, you know, is this team going to be better? Is this team going to be worse comparing to last year? But one of the major factors, obviously, going into betting win totals is the schedule. And some teams will do better than they actually are because of the schedule, and some teams would do worse than they actually are due to a tough schedule. One team that I was looking at the other day preparing for a podcast that I did this morning is the Carolina Panthers, a team that was around 500 last year under Matt Rhule. Obviously didn't have a lot of stability at quarterback. Christian McCaffrey was often injured. He's back this year. They have a couple of different options at quarterback. But what I'm really concentrating on is their schedule. I'm going to read you the first eight games of the Carolina Panthers schedule this year. Home versus the Jets, home versus the Saints, at Houston, at Dallas, home versus Philadelphia, home versus Minnesota, at New York, at Atlanta. That's a pretty soft schedule. I could see mm-hmm. them winning even without being a great team. I could still see them going 6-2 in that stretch, 5-3 at worst. And all of a sudden you're looking at a team whose total is 7.5 right now. And you bet them to obviously win eight games. And the only, you know, if at worst, I think they go 5-3 in those first eight games, you only need to pick a couple of more off. And the rest of the schedule, while the bottom is brutal with Buffalo, Tampa, at the Saints, at Tampa, you finish with Super Bowl champs two of the last 3 weeks with Buffalo and New Orleans in there. They still have Atlanta again. They have Washington. They have Arizona. They have New England, Miami. Not the toughest schedule in the world. And you only need them to go 8-9 to win that bet. So I think the Carolina Panthers, because of the schedule and the return of Christian McCaffrey, is a good buy right now to not only hit their win total, but they're actually plus 210 to make the playoffs. Again, I don't think they're one of the top six teams in the NFC, but easy schedule. You saw it a couple of years ago with Cam Newton at quarterback. The team got off to a great start, wound up going 15-1 and going to the Super Bowl. No, they're not that good right now, but I think they can win 8 or 9 games and potentially get to 10 if they do start off well and possibly get a playoff spot at plus 210. That's one of the teams I'm looking at due to their schedule and getting McCaffrey back.
Yeah, I just, you know, I think a lot of people are looking at Sam Darnold and saying, oh, you know, he stinks. I just don't think people realize he just got such a raw deal here in New York. He's a lot better, I think, than what most people think. And I love Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule is a friend, and I cheer for him, and I think he's an excellent coach. And I think this division is going to be a lot more competitive, David, than what most people think. I don't think Tampa's going to run it back I'm playing the under on the Tampa Bay Bucks season total.
I do agree that the division is going to be more competitive than people think. I still think Tampa wins the division or the best team in the division. I think the Saints take a step back, and it's another win total I'm looking at, as well as a playoff no bet at pretty much even money, 110, 120 for the Saints to not make the playoffs right now. Obviously no Drew Brees, no Michael Thomas. They seem to be a train wreck as the season gets going. And you look at Atlanta and Carolina, and honestly, Atlanta's another team I was looking at, their win total sitting at 7.5 as well. And I just don't see 8 wins on their schedule differently than Carolina. I think Carolina can get off to a great start and ride that momentum to 8 or 9 wins. I look at the Falcons schedule, and whereas there are winnable games early, you're playing Philadelphia, both New York teams, and Washington early. You still get Tampa early. You get the Saints early. You get Dallas early. You get New England. I just don't think the Falcons are an 8-win team with that schedule. Well, I think the Panthers are. So I'm actually going to go under in Atlanta, over in Carolina right now.
Love it. David, thank you so much for joining. I really do appreciate it. When does the next NFL article column hit?
Well, we're actually going to start our college football preview next week. There's going to be a fantasy, which you participated in, a fantasy and betting roundtable about playoff props on Monday. And there will be, starting off on Wednesday, we're going to start off with the best bets for the conferences. And we're going to start off with, of course, the mighty SEC on Wednesday. And then we're going to get into our NFL content the following week. So it's ESPN Chalk, or follow me on Twitter, DBerriman ESPN. And you'll see plenty of content starting with our college football next week and the NFL afterwards.
Great stuff as always, David. Thank you so much. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. You too.
This is The Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.